is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, dear friends. Great to be with you again as we continue our series, No Zion Without a King, and no king, but of course, the name above all names, King Jesus. This is just a glorious series because we go into the Word of God and see what God has to say about Himself. You know, I tell you, it is a glorious thing to discover the autobiography of God and how He is our King. Of course, Jesus also said we were His friend. He is Lord. He is our Savior. But more than anything, I believe He is King. And what a king He is. So we're going to continue this series. A lot of people don't believe that Jesus is king, or they think that Jesus is king of some earthly domain. But He has the whole universe, trillions of planets and stars as His domain, and we are part of His domain, and we are subordinate to Him. And I'm happy to just be a member somewhere of the court. You know, just let me be the court jester or joker or something. It's just or the janitor, whatever it takes. I just want to be there in that court. Now, we're going to have some beautiful music here in just a minute, too. You can write to us, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're getting a blessing from our radio programs, well, you know, we want to know about that. On the other hand, if you have some comment to make, maybe you have a sermon idea God has given you that you'd like me to speak on. Well, if God's given it to you, I'll pray about it, and if we agree in the Holy Spirit, then I'll preach on that subject. Of course, I cannot preach on anything that God doesn't want me to preach on, but you'll be surprised how some people have stirred me with their ideas for important subjects, and then God seems to reinforce that when I talk to Him in prayer, and He says, "That's right, Tex. Speak on that subject." The brother and the sister were right, and they got a message from me. So I love hearing from you. I consider each one of you my friend. I have a lot of friends out in radio land. And when I travel, Wanda and I, across America, we're able to meet people. And they come up to us and they say, "Hey, I listen to your radio program, Bible Home Church." And it's really thrilling to actually see faces and shake hands, hug necks, and all of that when we get out on the road. But, you know, I know you're listening. We get a lot of mail, and that's a real treat to me. My favorite part of the day is reading mail, and I always like to hear ideas, advice, every once in a while a complaint. We don't get many of those, but if you've got one, you know, you might have a prayer request. And that's what I underline the prayer request, so that we can make sure that we pray for your needs. And I trust that you're praying for me, too. You know, it works both ways. And the Bible says we're two are in agreement. Well, God's going to agree to it also, as long as it's something that's not against God's will. So, you know, bring us into your prayer life, would you? Let us pray for you. You may have a lost one that needs the Lord. You may have some problems in your personal life, maybe with a husband or a wife. Maybe your marriage is a little rocky on shaky grounds. I believe prayer can cement a relationship. I do. Bringing God into a relationship will always make it stronger. And we want to pray for you in that respect. And we know some of our friends out there are ill and have sicknesses or aches and pains, some of them severe. We know some of you have cancer, diabetes. Some of you have heart problems. You're fixing to go into an operating room in a hospital. Please let us pray for you. let us know, and we will pray. I promise you, I'll pray for you, okay? And God hears prayers. He's on the throne, my friends. And it's not a burden. Some people have written me and said, oh, I just hate to burden you with my problems, Tex. Well, listen, that's the good news. Sure, I've got a lot of problems. I'm busy, and we sometimes work around here 60, 70 hours, 80 hours a week even on occasion. But I always have time to pray for you. And your problem is my problem. I really feel that way. And if I have a prayer need, listen, I know many times I've gone on the radio and said something is wrong with me or a loved one physically. Pray for us. And you know what? I've seen miracles occur. Miracles. Absolutely. I know my kidneys were messing up on me. I didn't even know it until I went to the doctor. They said, look at these tests. And I took several other tests and all confirmed. I went to a kidney specialist and they said, yeah, you've only got 40% use of your kidneys. You've lost 60% in 1 year, and we've got to stop that, or within another year, you're going to be on a kidney, machine, a dialysis machine. And so they said the best we can hope for is just to stop the degrade, but we can never return it to the way it was, 100%. Well, you know, I just asked for people out there to pray for me. And I'm telling you, the next time I went back to see that specialist, now remember, many, many tests, this wasn't just one test that maybe they made a mistake on, but I had tests at the hospital, I had tests through my family physician, then I had the specialist do all of their tests at their laboratories, some of the best laboratories in the world, they all confirmed this. But once we began to pray earnestly out there about this problem, the doctor was very surprised and went back, and they're 100% okay, as if nothing was ever wrong. So no one can convince me that prayer does not work. It just plain does, because God can do anything. With God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Please let us pray for you. It's a privilege to do so. We never ask you to pay for a prayer. But at any time, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to give us a love offering or tithes so we can keep this ministry going, great. But just so you won't think we're going to pray for you if you pay us, you might want to put it in a separate envelope. Who knows? Because I keep telling you and emphasizing, and I want you to understand this, we don't pray any harder for people who give us love offerings. That wouldn't be right. Because some people just are not able to give very much. And I've always been moved by the story in the Bible of Jesus and the widow. She only gave two mites, but that was more than the rich people gave proportionately. It was everything she had. And so I know that happens. And so we don't grade people on how much they give. We just accept everybody, and that's up to you and the Lord. We want to pray for you, no matter whether you give or not. And that's always been our policy in our ministry. We try to treat everybody equally. Of course, we appreciate people who sacrificially give. Don't get me wrong on that. And I do honor people like that give more. But on the other hand, we never know circumstances. And a person can send $5 into that man or that woman. It's like giving $500. Because sometimes they have to take it out of their hide. And I appreciate that. And it's no light thing. I never tell people, cash your Social Security check and send us all the mail. I don't want you to. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to eat right. I want you to have medical service. Don't send this ministry any money that's going to cause you to miss a meal or not get medical attention or whatever. I feel like God will only bless us if you give what you can that's, yes, sacrificial, but it doesn't mean that somebody in your family is going to go hungry. Don't do that. I know I hear about these radio pastors, these TV evangelists, and they tell you it doesn't matter if you don't have any money. Take it. Even go get a loan and send us money. No, don't do that. Don't go get a loan, because then you're born from the world to give to God. You don't want to do that. No. You just take care of yourself, take care of your family, you feed and you shelter, And then what is left over, you ask the Holy Ghost how much to give of that. Okay? I want you to understand me on that. Because we don't want to ever, ever hear about a case where somebody was foreclosed on their home, or they couldn't eat a meal, or they had a medical condition but couldn't get medical care simply because they gave to God's ministry. You see, I believe if you give what you can and you take care of yourself as God gives you and provides you, I think God will take care of your needs. No one will ever go without shelter who trusts in the Lord Jesus. King David once said in the Old Testament, he said, I once was young and now I'm old, but I have yet to see a righteous man go hungry and without shelter. Friends, God promises you food and shelter. He doesn't promise you a big sumptuous meal, except up there when we have that the Feast of the Lamb. I'm telling you, there's going to be a banquet up there someday in heaven. Boy, what a banquet that's going to be. You're going to get your fill then, more than you, spiritually and physically, I'm assuming. But anyway, I wanted just to assure you, we appreciate your gift so much, but we don't want you to do any harm to yourself. And please don't borrow any money just to send us. That's not right. We just don't want that. Okay? And if you'll just follow what the Holy Spirit tells you, give, then you won't be making a mistake. That's always the safe way. Ask the Holy Ghost, what should I give to any ministry? And you can't go wrong if you do that. Then you're not giving based on your own opinions or your own mind or your own emotions, but you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, we've got a beautiful piece of music here for you. It's by the Cathedrals, and it's entitled something that's important. That's What Jesus Means to Me. I really feel for the words of this song, because I just feel, that you and I are singing it as the Cathedrals are, because the words have meaning to each of us who have known the blessings of salvation through Jesus Christ. So here are the Cathedrals, and immediately after that, we'll have our message for today as we continue our series. This is your pastor, Tex Mars.
All the things that men hold dear, all the precious gifts that this old world can hold. But the love I found at Calvary far exceeds my fondest dreams. It's a love that can't be bought by this world's gold. And you ask me why I love him, why I choose to walk this way. Well, I find his service sweeter every day. Has made our home complete. Oh, that's what Jesus means to me. And then each night around sundown, my girls all gather round. Clouds of gloom and doubt would hover low. And they whispered, Dad, we really love you. And my doubts just seem so small. He made our home a heaven. has made our home complete.
How can you put two things in that both look different and they come out and they make together through some strange symbiotic connection? It comes out and becomes something totally different. God sometimes does that with human beings. We go in as lumps of coal and we come out as diamonds. God can make a diamond out of you, friends. You're a dirty old piece of coal. You go in and God, through some kind of great conversion process, he has a heat factory of some kind spiritually, and you come out a new man, born again in spirit and in truth. If you come out saying, I'm a Jew, I'm a Gentile, you something's happened wrong to you. What God says is you will come out a new man. And it says here, he does this for to make in himself of twain one new man. Verse 16 says, that he might reconcile, you know what that means, bring together, reconcile both, that means both the Jews and the Gentiles, unto God in one body, by the cross. That's how he does it, by the cross. Wow. Verse 17 says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. To the Jews first, but and also the Gentiles. Peace, the kingdom. Everywhere you look in the New Testament, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is preached. The kingdom. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is preached. What kingdom? The kingdom of Ariel Sharon? The kingdom of earthly Jerusalem? No, the kingdom of heaven. For you're situated in heavenly places. But there's some who come and preach another gospel, another Jesus. Verse 11, there in Galatians chapter 4, Paul said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid that it's possible, he said, I've just worked so much in vain to explain the truth to you. And now you've gone into error. In fact, if you don't believe the gospel of the kingdom, my friends, let me tell you, Paul said you're into witchcraft. You're the same as a witch. Judaizers are witches. Yes, they are witches. Paul said, who has bewitched you? Galatians chapter 1. Who's taken you away from the truth? You started out the race fine. Lance Armstrong started out that bicycle race in France fine. And four times in a row, maybe a fifth now, he finishes fine. World's best bicycler. Well, we're on a race too, my friends. And Paul said, some of you, you know, started out fine. But somewhere there was a crash, there was a wreck. Somehow somebody led you astray. They said, hey, come this way. Come this way. And you got off the right path. Paul said, you've turned to witchcraft if you don't believe the gospel of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians verse 50 of chapter 15 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, a lot of you are saying, did Jesus really say my kingdom is not of this world? Well, by the way, that's in John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Friends, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. And today the Judaizers say, let's deliver Jesus to the Jews. The Jews want an earthly kingdom. Let's make Jesus their king. They want to deliver Jesus to the Jews. Help the Jews set up an earthly kingdom. That'll be their Zion. Build the temple so he, Jesus, can go in there again. That would mock and blaspheme Jesus, but they're too spiritually ignorant to understand that. Pilate didn't understand it either. In verse 37, he says, art thou a king then? Jesus already said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he was being accused by the Jews of saying he was king of the Jews. So Pilate was trying to get it straight. I suppose in his own way, he was an honest man. He thought he was. He wanted to be. And his wife, we're told that his wife warned him, don't find this innocent man guilty. But the Jews were pushing at him, saying, kill him, crucify him. And Pilate wanted to get it straight, and he was hoping for the right answer so he wouldn't have to crucify Jesus, I believe. And he said, art thou a king then? Dave Hunt in his newsletter says, no, Jesus is not king. Yeah, Jesus is up in heaven, but he's not king. He's a groom of the bride of Christ, but he's not king. He has no kingdom as of yet. Jesus never said he didn't have a kingdom. He just said, my kingdom is not of this world. But Pilate, listen to this. Art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Friend, in Jewish idiom, that means it's just as you say, I am a king. Listen, I want to read it to you. In context, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to add something here. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I am king. And it is for this very purpose that I was born. Jesus was born to be king. No, he's only the groom. He doesn't have a crown. He'll be king of the 144,000 Jews someday, but not now. That's what they say. That's what the Judaizers preach. I am angry that they've tried to demote and dethrone my Lord Jesus. You know, Job was in the kingdom of God, but he lived here on earth physically. And one day the devil made his appointed rounds, but he had to go up and see God, had to bow down to God. And Jesus said, have you considered my servant, Job? He sat on the throne. He was king. And he said to the devil, have you thought about my servant? Have you considered my servant, Job? He didn't say your servant, Job. And the devil said, well, yeah, I can't get at him. I can't get at him. I cannot take and destroy him. I can't hurt him at all because you, God, have put a hedge of protection around him. Friends, that's good news for you and me. Do you understand? You may be living in Toledo. You may be living in Albuquerque. You may be living in Miami, Florida or Dallas, Texas. But you're a servant of God, and that's good news. I'll tell you why. God has put a hedge of protection around you. And your name, I suspect, comes up for remembrance. And God says, have you considered my servant Sam Smith in Idaho? Have you considered my servant Kimberly in Louisiana? And the devil complains and says, yeah, well, I can't get at them. You put a hedge of protection around them. They're part of your kingdom, not mine. Jesus was born for that very purpose. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. And friends, if you can only bear it, Jesus said that's the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Listen to me. He calls the Jews, and those Jews who say no, they're of the kingdom of Satan. But they're God's chosen. Chosen for what? For hell. They weren't chosen for the foundation of this world to serve God. They're not his servant. They belong to the devil. They have no hedge of protection. But a Jew who says, I believe and I trust in my Messiah, my Savior, Jesus Christ, that person is translated in the kingdom of God. They're no longer a Jew. They're part of a holy nation, Peter says, called Christians. And if you're a Gentile, or you were a Gentile, and you now serve Jesus Christ, you're a servant. You're not part of Satan's kingdom.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.